I invite you to hear the word of the Lord as it is contained in the prophet Joel, the second chapter. Blow the horn in Zion. Give a shout on my holy mountain. Let all the people of the land tremble, for the day of the Lord is coming. It is near, a day of darkness and no light, a day of clouds and thick darkness, like blackness spread out upon the mountains. A great and powerful army comes, unlike any that has ever come before them or will come after them in the centuries ahead. Yet even now, says the Lord, return to me with all your hearts, with fasting, with weeping, with sorrow. Tear your hearts and not your clothing. Return to the Lord your God, for he is merciful and compassionate, very patient, full of faithful love, and ready to forgive. Who knows whether he will have a change of heart and leave a blessing behind him? A grain offering and a drink offering for the Lord your God. Blow the horn in Zion. Demand a fast. Request a special assembly. Gather the people. Prepare a holy meeting. Assemble the elders. Gather the children, even nursing infants. Let the groom leave his room and the bride her chamber. Between the porch and the altar, let the priests, the Lord's ministers, weep. Let them say, have mercy, Lord, on your people, and don't make your inheritance a disgrace, an example of failure of the nations. Why should they say among the people, where is your God? And from the Gospel of Matthew, the sixth chapter, verses 1 through 6 and 16 through 21. When you pray, don't be like hypocrites. They love to pray standing in the synagogues and on street corners so that people will see them. I assure you, that's the only reward they'll get. But when you pray, go to your room, shut the door, and pray to your Father who is present in that secret place. Your Father who sees you sees what you do in secret and will reward you. And when you fast, don't put on a sad face like the hypocrites. They distort their faces so people will know they are fasting. I assure you that they have had their reward. When you fast, brush your hair, wash your face. Then you won't look like you're fasting to people, but only your Father who is present in that secret place. Your Father who sees in secret will reward you. Stop collecting treasures for your own benefit on earth, where moth and rust eat them, and where thieves break in and steal. Instead, collect treasures for yourselves in heaven, where moth and rust don't eat them, and where thieves don't break in and steal them. Where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Well, it's been almost 10 years. We were so happy. We got word that I was being reappointed. And yes, we would have to buy our own home. Well, we had been living in a beautiful home, one that we were purchasing, 100 years old, gorgeous floors. Oh, it was one of those houses that you walked into and you just immediately relaxed. It was beautiful. It was convenient. It was comfortable. But if you've ever owned a 100-year-old house, they're money pits. Something would break and Michael would say, oh, don't worry, it won't cost that much. $1,000 at least every time. Do you know how much a new stool costs when you have a center that is smaller than usual? It was close to $1,000. So when we found out we were moving, we sat down and we made a list of non-negotiables. The house had to be one story. I didn't care if it was a ranch or a bungalow, one story. It had to have a two-car garage, enough room for Michael's tools, and if it had a basement, it had to have a first-floor utility room. We were working with a realtor who managed to find a house that met all of our criteria, all of our non-negotiables, and it came with a bonus. It had been totally gutted and remodeled. Talk about a dream come true. We made one fatal mistake. We took the realtor's advice about getting an outside person to come in and look at it. He said, the city inspectors have been there. They've had to walk through it every improvement. It'll be okay. You can save yourself a lot of money. Let's see. The basement only flooded three times before we finally fixed the problem, and each time it was at our expense. There was the furnace, the air conditioner, the hot water tank, the sump pump, the carpeting, the windows, the kitchen appliances. Oh, and let's not forget the basement. We live in the old riverbed. They failed to tell us that, too. And so all the houses experienced foundation issues. This house had these really nice steel beams up against the wall, and cracks had been fixed, and there were these cute little things poked into the wall. It looked wonderful. It looked sturdy. Yeah. Too bad those steel poles weren't attached to anything. So much for city inspectors, huh? Our oldest daughter, she looked at all and said very lovingly, it was all lipstick. It was all lipstick. Glitz and glamour and make-believe. Underneath it all, there were problems. There were very serious problems. But it looked so good. Does that by any chance sound like any of your lives? You know, we've all been taught from a very early age, you don't air your dirty laundry in public. People don't want to hear our problems. Besides that, it's really none of their business. And if people find out what's really going on, we might look bad. So we go around living what I sometimes call a Facebook life. You know, regardless of what's actually going on, you want people to see your smiles, your near-perfect family with your children and their arms around each other smiling into the camera like they never fight. You want them to believe that you're successful and you have all these wonderful adventures. So regardless of what's going on, they see your smiles. But underneath, it's lipstick. Because how often are there the other pictures you don't post? The other things that never make it on there. The worry. Those moments you mess up. Have you ever seen anyone post a whole post on the way they hurt their spouse's feelings? The way their child's been a disappointment? Or the fact that they're scared to death they're going to lose their job. We cover it up. We go around hoping that no one really sees what's going on. No one really knows how we're feeling. We put lipstick on it. And we pretend. I think that's one reason that we honestly don't like the prophets. And that you read the Old Testament prophets and they are so honest. They just put it all out there. The good, the bad, the ugly. They talk about it all. They point fingers at themselves, and worse than that, they point fingers at us. The prophet Joel. It was a difficult time in the life of Israel. And he says, you know, God doesn't want your lipstick. God doesn't want all your schmoozing. God wants you to get real. God wants you to break your hearts open. Put it out there. Talk about what's wrong. Show God what's really going on. God already knows. But by opening your heart, you become honest with yourself. And when you're honest with yourself, then you can honestly hear God's honest response. Put it out there. Your sins, your failures, your shortcomings. Rend your hearts and not your clothes. That's pretty poetic in place of break open your hearts. As modern Christians, we really don't like to talk about sin. It's so old-fashioned. It's so down. We especially don't like to talk about sin when it's our sins, our failures, our shortcomings. There again, it's nobody's business. Why should we talk about it? And if God already now knows, why do we have to say anything? So we keep putting more lipstick on. We cover the cracks of our lives and we hope that no one sees what's really underneath. But there's a problem when we just cover things up. Those steel posts in our basement, they were worthless. So the cracks just kept getting bigger. They kept multiplying. It's the same thing with our lives. When we just keep covering up, when we keep putting our Facebook smiles on things, the cracks just keep getting bigger. And the more we try to cover them up, the more we smile our Facebook smiles, the more we bury our true feelings. And when we do, we risk serious behavioral and spiritual disorders. I mean, if we can't be honest with ourselves and with God, who can we be honest with? But it doesn't have to be this way. Lent is a time that we in the church set apart to examine our lives, to examine who we truly are and the changes that we need to make. It's a time that we are supposed to come clean with God and with ourselves. And the only way to do that is to stop pretending. When we stop pretending, we can take an honest look at who we really are. But to do that, my friends, it means that we have to slow down. We have to spend time alone with our own feelings and alone with God. And slowing down and spending time in solitude, those are two things that most of us don't like to do. We fill our calendars with so many activities, it takes Herculean efforts just to get through the day. We're tired when we go to bed, we're tired when we get up. We look at our calendars and we feel defeated. We rush from one thing to another. We seldom even sit down at the table and eat a meal together, unless, of course, we're in a car running from one activity to the other. Or maybe you do just the opposite. Maybe your days are spent more in quiet solitude than in frantic rushing. And in that solitude, there's deafening silence. You spend your days looking backwards and wishing for things that once were that are no more. You know, that house full of kids that you could hardly wait for them to grow up. All of the confusion. And the more you look backwards, you can't live in the present or look at the future. And what you start becoming is angry and cynical. Maybe just a little jealous. You know, whichever camp we find ourselves in, the one that spends all their time running from one place to the other, or the one who sits there pining over what once was, the truth is we're hiding. We're still covering up the cracks in our lives. Like I already said, it doesn't have to be that way. Now, as we begin our Lenten journey, we need to really listen to what Jesus is telling us in the gospel that I read just a moment ago. He talks about dropping the pretenses. Stop being what you think everyone else wants you to be. Stop doing things for the show of it all. He says, go into your room. Be quiet. For the Lord who sees you in that room is the Lord who loves you. We don't have to pretend with God. We don't have to be what we're not. We do have to confess who we are. Do what Jesus says. Set time apart every day to pray, to meditate, to spend time alone with God. And by being honest with yourself, I mean really, really honest, then all those cracks, they become an opportunity for God's light to shine into your life. And who knows? Maybe. Just maybe, if we take this Lenten journey, come Easter morning, we'll experience a resurrection. Maybe we'll finally be the person God created us to be. So take off the lipstick. Put down the pretenses. Forget the Facebook smile. Just go to God and know what real love is. Thanks be to God. And all God's people say, amen. Brothers and sisters, the early Christians observed the great devotion that the days of our Lord's passion and resurrection. And it became a custom for the church that before the Easter celebration, there should be a 40-day season of spiritual preparation. During this season, converts to the faith were prepared for holy baptism. It was also a time when persons who had committed serious sins and had separated themselves from the community of faith were reconciled by penitence and forgiveness and restored to participation in the life of the church. In this way, the whole congregation was reminded of the mercy and forgiveness proclaimed in the gospel of Jesus Christ and the need that we all have to renew our faith. I invite you, therefore, in the name of the church, to observe a holy Lent by self-examination and repentance, by prayer, fasting, self-denial, and by reading and meditating on God's holy word, to make a right beginning of a repentance, and as a mark of our mortal nature, let us now bow before our Creator and Redeemer.